Hello and welcome to Marriott Hotels' In Focus Empowering Podcast Series, which brings together some of the UK's brightest minds to help you reach your full potential and inspire you on your travels. From self-care to side hustles, it explores career trends to offer advice, guidance and practical tips to those who want to get ahead in their careers. You can catch In Focus podcast by keeping an eye out on travelbrilliantly.co.uk or by following Marriott Hotels on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
About that presentation.
Oh, look at Jeff. He thinks I'm on my phone, familiarising myself with this afternoon's presentation. Little does he know, I'm using the McDonald's app to order lunch so I can grab it when I get off the train. Enjoy those soggy cucumber sandwiches at the meeting, Jeff. McChicken sandwich, fries, Coke Zero. 3-0 me.
The new My McDonald's app. Ready when you are. Download today. Order on the app and we'll start preparing your food as you arrive. Selected restaurants only.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson, hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers,
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Solo K with Wellington Dupre.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old brows. I'm Ronnie Cara. I'm also from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. And here I am with a gorgeous, talented, not ever broken little bird. His name is Ben Mandelka. He's created a show on El Youtubo called The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, baby?
I'm great. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Made it mostly through the week. And then manana, we are taking a plane up to Vancouver, British Columbia. I've not been to Vancouver since first grade, and I'm like very excited to go back.
I've never been there, and I'm so excited.
I'm super, super excited. You know, I got a memory on Facebook that was like, this is what you were doing 9 years ago. Like, yeah, I guess my memories are in Jen Aiden voice. But it was like, this is what you're doing 9 years ago. And it was like a picture of me when I was at Club Med with my family in 9 years ago. And I just remember being trapped at that Club Med. It was like a family med. It was like all families and then me. And it was like 30 degrees out, even though it was Florida. And I was like, what hell am I in? And it was during the Winter Olympics that were taking place in Vancouver. And I remember because I spent a lot of time in Club Med just watching the Olympics, trying to make the time pass. And who would have thought 9 years later that we'd be heading up to Vancouver itself to reenact the Olympics in the form of us doing our show and making fun of the Real Housewives of Vancouver.
Yes. And I will be wearing a Speedo just to traumatize Ben for a story in 9 more years.
I'm going to actually reenact Katie Lang performing at the opening ceremony of those Olympics, because I remember that too.
So everybody get your butts over to Vancouver. We're so excited to go and perform there and do this Real Housewives of Vancouver season 1 episode 1 show. And then
watch it on Slice, by the way.
Yeah, watch it on Slice. And then right after that we are going to be in Austin for South by Southwest, which we're also,
well, DC,
of course, super excited about. Oh, we're going to DC first?
DC first, and then South by Southwest.
Okay. And then from there, we're going to Cincinnati. And we added a show in Cincinnati earlier in the day of the other show. So come to that if you want. That's going to be great. Yeah. And then after that, we're going to go to lots of other places. Okay.
Whoa.
We're going to go Portland, Phoenix, other going places.
To Milwaukee, Minnesota, and then we're also going to go to Irvine, California. Did you say Portland and Phoenix already? We're going to so many places. It could be like going on a college tour with Avery. It's like, Avery, do you want to look at colleges in Portland and Phoenix and Irvine and Milwaukee and Minnesota? And she's like, no, Mom, why should I go to college when I already look like a young, sophisticated lady? And I was like, that's funny because I look like a young, sophisticated lady. And that's when I realized that I basically look like my daughter's sister. Okay?
Okay. So go get tickets for live shows. WatchWhatCrappens.com. Just scroll down. Also on that website, you can find links to our Luann shirt, Countess Luann, Andy Warhol pop art. They're also available as leggings. So go get those. And that is it for Shilling It today.
I mean, who needs a soup can when you can have me? A Lou can. Get it?
You can have it on your real can. My face. Because we have leggings. So, go get those. So, today is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, or as I like to call it, the very beginning of when everyone started to mistreat me horribly.
Of Beverly Hills. I'm fully involved in this season again. I'm like, even though not much happened in this episode, I was like really enjoying it.
I felt overall a little lag. I thought this like dessert party at Rinna's was a bunch of ladies who really didn't want to be around each other. They were just like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing with your week? Well, I'm going shopping. I'm doing errands. Oh, I don't give a fuck. It's like, I don't know. I'm not really sure. But my love for Denise Richards was born this week. Okay. Came out kicking and screaming. She is like Kim Richards.
You know, it's funny because I was going to say I'm not sold on Denise Richards at all. But I think her love story is like going to be an endless font of entertainment for us, because things are not adding up in my brain. And I was like, well, we'll get to it. But I was like, what? And by the way, I could have sworn, Ronnie, at some point over the past 9 months when we talked about rejiggering the franchise, and in fact, maybe when we even heard that Denise Richards was going to be on the show, I feel like we had a moment where we said, you know who should have been on the show? Nicolette Sheridan. We said that, did we not?
Yes, and I don't remember if it's because of her.
Not because of her, because I didn't even I had forgotten that that guy was married to Nicolette Sheridan. But I think we were talking about how, like, you know, Denise Richards, that's fine, but we want someone who's like a little older, a little crazier, but sort of has this, like, someone who's like famously difficult and is like past her prime. And then I feel so certain, because I think we said Sean Young at one point, and then we landed on Nicolette Sheridan. I really feel like that's true.
And Nicolette Sheridan was actually in Desperate Housewives, which Real Housewives was based on. So it would be a really cool full circle in pop culture history.
Yeah. And so even though we got Denise Richards instead, I'm actually hopeful that maybe next season maybe we'll get some Nicolette Sheridan.
Well, I didn't really expect Denise Richards to just be so like trailer. And I think it's hilarious. She's like, she curses like a sailor. She talks and she smokes about 20 cigarettes a day, kind of slurs her words together. She only talks out of half her mouth.
Yeah. And she sort of has a casual Midwest accent too. I was like, wait, am I getting some Midwest accent from Denise Richards? And I looked it up. She's from Illinois. I was like, aha.
Yeah,
so I just like that.
I like that I can just use Captain Lee and Kim Richards kind of in one impersonation, you know, just add to my terrible impersonation, you know, canon.
Yeah, it's nice to have a Richards back on the show. Well, I guess we already have Kyle, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, not a horrible one. So we got opening lines today, which we didn't get last week. Have we already done the opening lines? I don't think we did.
I don't think so. Well, let's do them anyway, because why not? It's tradition.
I love that neither one of us can remember.
We can't remember anything. I can only remember things about Nicolette Sheridan, apparently.
So Rinna is the first one. In the game of life, it's Rinna take all, baby.
I like that one. That's a good pun. I like it.
Sounds like Winna.
I saw that pun and I was like, hi, how are you? How are you, pun?
Then is Erica.
Most people talk about their fantasies. I'm living mine.
And she's like rubbing her tit in her opening. I'm like, okay, Erica.
It's a little generic. It's fine. But it's a little like anyone could have said it. I don't know. I feel like I feel like she should have done something like it should have been something like where you thought she was gonna say, I don't give a fuck, but she says like both people spend a fortune in life, but for me, I don't give a buck. Something like that. Yeah. You know?
Or like, I have a lot of money to give, but zero fucks.
Yeah.
There, you're welcome, Erica. Okay.
Yeah.
That was a freebie from a gay. And I know you're not used to those. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm one gay guy who will give you something for free. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
So why don't then you we have Dorit. She's like, in business and in life, I wear many hats and hairstyles and implants and babies.
And hair under hats. I don't know. You know, this was, you know, I get she has different hairstyles, but this would have been a great time to do something like, you know, some people see the glass as half empty. I see it as half full or whatever. Like something about like the glass. I see the glass as being half full, but only if it's the right glass. I don't know. Some, I mean, that's obviously
a glass pun.
You know, I'm saying like she should have done something about like glasses, you know?
Yeah. Life is like a glass of champagne, even if it's in a tumbler at a poor person's home.
I would have liked it also if her line was just Lisa. Lisa,
Goyce.
Coyle, PK. She's just asking people where people are. Like, she's just lost looking around.
Goyce. Also, I don't like her being like, in business and in life, I wear many hats. Yeah, and you don't pay for any of them. Okay? They're about to all get repossessed, ma'am.
Yeah. In business and in life.
Bobbly!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Never gets old.
Never,
and then Vanderpump is next. Do you want to do Vanderpump? Go for it.
You can stab me in the back, but whilst you're there, kiss my ass. Ooh.
This was a pretty good one, I thought. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good.
You can stab me in the back, but whilst you're there, kiss my ass.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like it.
Then Teddy. Like it. I'm not afraid of hard work, but I'll never do your dirty work. I'm Teddy.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's hard work, because I'm okay with that. I'm Teddy. Hi, I'm Teddy.
I'll never do your dirty work, but I'll insist that you text me every day to make sure that you're doing it.
Denise, my problem with the tabloids, my real life is so much juicier. I fucked a guy in the back of his DNA frequency lab.
Yeah, Denise, she's like, yeah, I left a lot of sex juices in the workout room, so there's that one.
And then finally Kyle's.
Oh, God. In Beverly Hills. That's so Kyle. And then I went back while I was watching this and watched every opening line, and I'll tell you why in a second. But Kyle was always like, in Beverly Hills, in this town. I grew up in this town. Beverly Hills is my playground. It's like, so Kyle, you know? And I'm sorry, but I'm already in full-on rage for Kyle at the beginning of the season, I think because of the first episode. And she's like, in Beverly Hills, the truth always has a way of rising to the top. And then it shows her swinging back and forth on her fucking pink swing, which I had to go back because I knew that Lisa Vanderpump had an opening where she's swinging back and forth on her pink swing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, she did. And Lisa Vanderpump's swing is, of course, like, gorgeous. You know, I mean, tacky as fuck, but Kyle's is like a low-rent version. So have fun with that, Kyle, okay? I've got the video proof.
I will say this. I actually think it's a great line.
Really?
It's in Beverly Hills, the truth has a way of rising to the top. I mean, well, it's a little clunky because it's not like, I mean, you always say the cream rises to the top, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kyle is sort of like cream. So, you know, but I think that truth, I think it's because she basically is like, I'm going to win this season, you know, or I'm finally kicking Lisa out. So I, regardless of what side you are with Kyle, I respect the wordplay on that one. Although she used to have a really good one. What was her really good one about luxury? or something. I don't know. She had a few really stupid ones. She had a few seasons where she was like, in this town, family is everything, and I have everything, or something like stupid like that. You know, like, okay, Kyle, relax.
Okay, Kyle, calm down.
You've got a family. Got it.
Now she's basically like a cup of coffee. The cream always has a way of rising to the top. So then Villa Rosa.
Yeah, this is a great opening. Great opening, because we start with Kyle visiting Lisa at Villa Rosa. And so Kyle is like, she's like shaming Lisa for not having guard dogs or something like that. Like, cause they're about to go on an adventure. And we get what we love the most, which is one of the swans attacking Kyle. So I can watch it all day long.
Hanky hates Kyle. And we always joke about Hanky going for Kyle's cankles. And I just love that Hanky went for Kyle's cankles. I was dying. Because Vanderpump's like, let yourself in, why don't you? Did you get past security? Hanky and Panky, the loss prevention specialists.
Oh, my God. But it was like, what was so great was that it was such a, like, a full-on, like, I am a swan and I am reaching across. I'm like, I am attacking your cankle. You know, yeah, I'm going for your cankle and I'm going to quack while I do it.
Well, what's so good is that Kyle comes in. They see her come in, obviously. And then they just wait at the door for Kyle to come out again. That's what cracks me up. It's like they hate Kyle. Hanky hates Kyle's guts. And I think they're like dogs. You know, they can just smell terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah, they get. I like the trick that they pull on her, which is like, oh, we're cool now. Yeah, come on in. Enter. Yeah, we're cool with you. We're cool. No, no problem. No problem. Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure you'll have a lovely exit from Villa Rosa, too. Yeah, nothing bad will ever happen. And then they just full-on attack the cankle.
And then Carl's like, oh, you fucker! And runs away. Do not call my swan a fucker after all Ken and I have done for you. But we're not at that point in the season yet. They're still like, we're wacky friends. Look at me. Laverne and the other one.
the other one. Laverne and Blurry Mass. Yes, is that what it's called? So,
Laverne and the cataracts he occasionally hangs out with to make it feel less cloudy.
Laverne and Unremarkable Space. So what I'm also loving is that the editors know that this shit's going down. So they're just like plying us full with shit that is not going to last. Like they're just giving us all sorts of bullshit lines. Cause Kyle goes, I love Lisa. I think right now she's going through a hard time, but Lisa and I can laugh anywhere we go, anytime, forever, never going to change. Cause in this town, I can laugh with Lisa wherever.
I love Clueless Kyle. I think right now she's going through a hard time. Yeah, Kyle. Do you think?
I finally remember. In this town, I can laugh with Lisa.
And especially in this town, because it's my town.
I think the tagline she had that I liked was, "I'm an expert in luxury, and I can always spot a fake." I liked that one.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for you, so could the people who robbed your house. Okay, so
by the way, I just want to say you're welcome, audience. I know you're all wondering what was that tagline been really liked from Kyle Richards, and I know you guys were just sitting there like, oh, I hope he can figure it out. So
they were on pins and needles.
Pins and needles, sort of like Kyle's hair. Oh, we can laugh anywhere, right, Kyle?
So Kyle and Vanderpump go to the doctor to get their yearly, you know, vag rejuvenation or facial rejuvenation or turkey neck rejuvenation, whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, they're basically changing the batteries in their car, in their face cars.
And this place is their face car. This place is like one vowel away from being Eponine in Les Miserables. And I thought this is so typical because Eponine totally died getting screwed over. Okay, have fun.
Was Eponine, there's Eponine and Fantine. Is Fantine like the daughter of Eponine?
No, Fantine is the mother. So Fantine is the Patti LuPone character who dies in the beginning. And then Cosette is the little poor girl who has to live with the people who run that hotel. She sings, Castle on a Cloud, there is a castle on a cloud.
On a cloud.
She's the heroine, and Cosette's like her rival, but Cosette loses in the end and dies in the rain.
I just had like a vision of Lisa Vanderpump singing Les Mis for the first time, and I can just imagine her doing that Lisa Vanderpump cry where her lips tremble, and then she uses her pinky to like wipe away a tear that's not there by her nose.
Yeah, she shoves a paper towel in her eye.
It was absolutely beautiful.
A little fall of rain can hardly hurt me now. After all, Ken and I have done for you.
Master of the house. That's what Ken thinks he is.
Hey, be quiet out there, audience member. She clearly saw the Australian production, by the way.
So nice of them to stage this at the Sydney Opera House.
Quiet, quiet. I said quiet.
So Carol tells us, we're in a town where no one ages, so you have to come to get rubberized every week. I'm like, I don't know who told you that no one in that town, you know, ages, but have we started covering our mirrors in Los Angeles now?
We're in a town where no one tries to age. So they try to fake it, and then they just look older. Yeah. In this town, no one ages, and I know, because this is my town.
Yeah. One of my eyes is totally not closing at the same time as the other one for no reason.
I would love for Kim Richards to star in a production of, like, the, like a local production of My Town, and just, or Our Town, and watch Kyle just lose her shit. I mean, it's my town, really, and I don't know why she would do this to me.
She's like, I'm starting a TV show. It's about an alcoholic doing a play called My Town. Like, Kyle, stop stealing other people's lives from the TV show.
Alcoholic doing a production of Our Town. You stole my goddamn town.
Okay, so
glad she's not from Oklahoma.
We're just cracking ourselves up.
That's actually Taylor. Taylor's like, oh, I'm gonna do that too in this town. Oklahoma. Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Taylor, actually, because I was watching all the openings to get my nonsense evidence that Kyle is just trying to be Lisa Vanderpump, which, like, literally, when am I even going to use that evidence? It's so stupid. Was it right worth now. It? It was.
Right, yeah, it was.
But then I saw Taylor Armstrong, and she's like, I worked hard for this zip code. And I was like, God, she did. Looking at all those taglines in the future is so creepy, you know, saying, yeah, like, the things that they were talking about and finding out how hard Taylor really did, like, after we found out she was a con woman and all that other stuff.
Yeah, she really, you know, I want her back. I'm sorry. I want her back on the show. I need to know what happened to Snowball 2. Oh, Snowball 1. Snowball 1, sorry. Yeah, I want to know what happened to Snowball. I want to see what's going on with Madison. I want to just see if, like, a suitcase will trigger her, you know?
Maybe one day she'll be back. So they go to see this plastic surgery whose face is terrifying.
Yeah, Dr. Ujin.
Yeah,
Ujin?
It's a lot. Ujin? There's a lot going on there. I just wrote terrifying face Jesus. And then yeah. Vanderpump is there for a turkey neck rejuvenation.
Yeah.
And he's going to fill her neck with filler.
Fillers, which I guess is like the same as implanting alien eggs around your larynx. I don't know. I didn't really see how that was helpful, but I guess it does help in some way.
Is implanting frog embryos into your neck and then just letting it rest for a while, apparently.
And Lisa requests some laughing gas for the occasion. I don't know if she even needs it for some shots, but she's like, could I have the laughing gas? Oh, good. Oh, I feel light as air. Look at Kyle. Look how silly she is. It's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man with a bad wig. Am I right, everyone? Lisa?
Is it the gas or is one of Kyle's eyes broken, Doctor?
Look how small one of her eyes is. Oh, don't be self-conscious about it, Kyle.
So they're like, haha, we're wacky, we're friends, we are wacky friends. And I was just like, I was sitting up there like, it's like, yeah, the TV.
I could hear your arms crossing right now as you said that. I could hear that, like, I could hear you leaning back and crossing your arms.
This show, like, I've been triggered for months about this show, and now that it's back on, I'm just furious through the whole thing. I love it.
And once again, sort of what you were saying, Lisa goes, Kyle and I love to have a laugh together. Like, yeah. Just lay it on thick, editors. Lay it on. We love it. Bring it on.
With everything I'm dealing with,
this respite is important to me. I'm like, Lisa Vanderpump is the only person who can make people Google on Bravo, you know?
Oh, I just love a good laugh with Kyle Richards. Sometimes I'll just smuggle in Hanky just to terrorize her at the facial place.
So she tells Kyle, she goes, what are you going to do, Kyle? Get an eye patch. The doctor's like, well, we could put some scotch tape on it.
Kyle looks like one of those emoticons, you know, where it's like a lowercase zero, lowercase O with like an underscore and then a big O. It's like, that's what it means. But it's actually Kyle's face.
Oh, that was really hard for me to get out. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. That was I was like, wow.
It was quite a journey you went on.
It was a journey and it was like not going anywhere. I was like, but I have to paint the picture that's in my head for everyone. So now we go over to a restaurant in West Hollywood called Nora.
Nora. What a beautiful restaurant.
Yes. So Erica's there. She's at a table. And then Rinna comes in. And Rinna does like, you know, she does her special type of hello, which is like she's about to start a hoedown where she puts she slaps both her hands onto her thighs like, hello. But she never actually does the hoedown. She's like about to like.
Hello.
It's her hello down.
Do-si do, am I right? Own it. Do-si don't it.
I mean, look at you. You're in your Satori dress. I'm wearing gold pants. You ordered an Arnold Palmer. Oh my God. I'm like, okay, you guys, you two need to calm down. You're just having lunch and you saw each other yesterday. Okay.
I know. So Dorit walks in. So they're all happy and they're ordering. It's like, I'll have a wine, please. And then Lisa orders a wine too. And Erica's like, I think I'm going to have a beer in a bottle. And Dorit goes, love that. Oh.
Dorit just kept dropping her mouth, going, oh, at everything that was being said.
I don't think that she's been that excited since the time she walked into a car dealership.
Young ladies, yeah! Welcome.
I think I'm going to have a bottle of beer.
She did. She dropped her jaw all the way to the floor. She goes, I drink young beer as a young girl. I drink beer in a bottle as a girl.
PK, you will not believe what Erica did today.
Oh, did she take off her panties again?
No, better. She had a beer in a bottle.
Love that.
Love that. That's what I said too.
Did she shoot it out of her vagina?
PK!
So they're talking about, yeah.
Like, you did? Because in high school, we had kegs of beer. She's like, oh, yes. High school was all about the kegs, wasn't it? And the headstands on the kegs. When I was in high school, I probably kegged on the kegs.
She's like, I did keg headstands. Keg headstands. I'm like, bitch, you've never been to a rager because no one calls it a keg headstand. It's keg stand. Like,
she said she did a keg stand, but then she goes, and gasps at herself in her testimonial.
Love that. Me? I would drink full beers very fast. It was a fast swallow. No, bitch, it's called a chug.
Bad.
Oh!
I would go to Ragings. Ragings. They're called Ragers.
I would go to PTs.
Parties.
It's from living all over the world, I tell you.
So then Ren is like, so,
what's been happening?
Like she's a kindergarten teacher trying to get everybody involved. And Dorit's like, well, Lisa Rinna, we've had a very big robbery.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
And then Rinna gasped.
She probably just like had you know, she just got a box of Cookie Crisp. She's like, robbers in our home.
And then Rinna's like, I think the next dog you need to return to Vanderpump Pet is a big Doberman.
As
what's next for you? And Erica's like, yeah, a Dutch shepherd. And Rinna goes, or a Dutch shepherd.
Wow, that's a rude thing to say about Yolanda. So Dorit's like, I think it's safe to say the Kemsleys are going to put the dog, owning a dog, on the back burner. I was like, see, this is the problem. You're not supposed to put dogs on burners. Don't burn the dog.
Would too. Well, Lisa said not to bring it back. Sounds like maid food to me.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Dorinda's, Dorit, sorry, I write down the first three letters of their names, and I'm very excited for New York, if you can't tell. So she's like, I can't even talk about it. You know, when it just gets to be too much. Yes, Dorit.
Yes, this, when you have nothing happening except that you gave a dog to a family instead of putting it back. Oh, so much. You have to go to the Bahamas for that.
Yeah, purse got stolen. So she's like, I could use a trip. A girl's trip.
Guys, we need to try out a Beverly Beach beachwear, guys.
She's introducing the early season cast trip, which also we then get our first time seeing Erica's one of her interview looks, where she has this big sort of a drag queen 80s hair, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I didn't. I mean, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. That was said in a way that's like, I don't mean to discount your feelings, my friend. But to me, I'm like, listen, the drag queens already have the market on this. You're not just suddenly going to be a drag queen to make gay people happy, okay? They're already doing it. Stop taking our shit, okay?
Yeah.
You have enough shit, straight white lady. Like, you have enough shit. You have a private jet. Leave the drag queens their huge wigs. Like, she literally looks like someone on Drag Race.
Yeah, but for some reason it didn't bother me. I enjoyed it. I
just thinking terrible music. I mean, come on.
But they all look like people from Drag Race. So, I don't know. I liked it personally. I know it's shocking, but I did like it.
And then while she's talking to us, we get a clip. She's like, oh, yeah. Oh, you know, I've got everything. Because everywhere they mentioned, Dorit wants a trip. So Rinna's like, maybe Tahoe.
Oh, I love Tahoe. I think we have a place there. I can't remember. Or Palm Desert. Oh, yeah. We got a place in Palm Desert. Heck, yeah. I don't have that tab.
Staten Island. Disney. Yeah. We got a house in Staten Island. It's a nice little condo over there.
So the editors slip in a clip of her in season one begging for a budget to replace one pool tile in her house.
Yeah. So then they start talking about the Bahamas, and Dorit's like, I would like to go to a place. It's new. It's called Bahamar. It's supposed to be exquisite. I'm like, oh my God, please tell me they're going to Firefest. Please tell me they're going to Firefest.
Well, something was going on there, because this is the trip that we all saw. Well, any of us on who know the sweet as ever, Sashal Madia, the main housewife of all the shows. Anybody who's talked to her knows that they went to the Bahamas, and that's when that reality star started screaming at Dorit. She's like, you robbed my friend.
Yeah, I really hope that makes it onto the show, because that was a very fun moment on Twitter.
I think they cut it from the show because that girl said that nobody asked her to sign a release. So either
it's probably too like legally,
or she's just blurted out or something.
Yeah, I think it's probably like too much legal shit that maybe Bravo doesn't want to get involved with. But that's too bad, because I would love to know what's up with that.
I just either way, she's blurted out. Oh my God, you guys, I'm getting dumber by the day. She's blurted out.
Yeah. So anyway, Dorit's like, we have to go to Bahamar. They have VIP tents. Blink 182 is going to be performing. And they're going to have the most exquisite food from the best chefs. And I believe that all the Hadids will be there. And that girl from that movie.
I'm going to blow somebody for some bottled water, just like the old days.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hello and welcome to Marriott Hotels' In Focus Empowering Podcast Series, which brings together some of the UK's brightest minds to help you reach your full potential and inspire you on your travels. From self-care to side hustles, it explores career trends to offer advice, guidance and practical tips to those who want to get ahead in their careers. You can catch In Focus podcast by keeping an eye out on travelbrilliantly.co.uk or by following Marriott Hotels on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram.
I'm the patriarch, the grey hair, the one who has seen things, done things. I remind you of your own dad, or the one you wish he'd been. sword or gun, you'll always find me on the front line. And though you know that the good often perish in great drama, you won't be able to help yourself. Listen to the voices you love. Keep them close. The mothers, the lovers, the fathers. Do this, because all our stories are too short for bad characters.
Great characters make great drama. More than TV, ITV.
So now we go to Malibu, and Denise Richards is there, and she's at home with her hot boyfriend and her kids.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I'm like, do I really need to argue with everything you say today?
You don't have to. We can accept that Aaron's hot. I mean, he may not be hot to you. He's hot to me.
And he's like very cute. I think he's like on the verge of being a super creep.
Oh, 100%. Like, I mean, I think this guy is shady as fuck, but he's hot. You can be shady and hot. Sometimes the shadiest people are the hottest people. So he's like, and he's like very much like just a hot, muscular bro. He's like, I'll make the steak tonight. And you're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, because their options are burgers and steak. Yeah, I'm a man.
So Denise's daughter failed English.
Yeah, so she has to get a tutor, and she's, I'm just cracking up because I'm reading the notes, my notes, and it's like, it's all it is her lines, but she's like, you failed English, you think a tutor would help? Like, yes, Denise. It's like, obvious questions. So she's like, yeah, doing my past, you know, doing wild things and being provocative on the cover of Tit Mags. I obviously didn't think back then of being a mom, but, you know, yeah, I am. Sammy and Lola, her dad is a Charlie Sheen, and you know, her parents are both nuts, so good luck with that bitch. And then, you know, Eloise, this little fucker's adopted as a baby, and, you know, I was a single mom. There's rumors that she's Charlie's kids from a hooker, but that's false. And I was like, okay, this mom.
She was an escort.
Yeah. She was affiliated with a company called Craigslist, right?
Yeah.
It's totally different.
She was a model who performed exclusively on webcams.
This monologue was just fucking perfect, okay? Two daughters with Charlie Sheen, and then an adopted baby everyone thinks Charlie secretly had with a hooker. I was like, how were you not hired 10 years ago? Because you were perfect for this.
So Denise and Aaron have been together for a year, and he's already living in her place. And honestly, we know they're getting married during the season, so this is a pretty quick relationship. And the way that Denise met Aaron is because she went to his clinic because he was doing a lot of frequency work and balancing the body. So already I'm like,
This guy's a grifter.
Yeah, he is a grifter because, first of all, I don't even know what frequency work even truly means. Like, is he like banging? Is he doing like Reiki shit or whatever? Or like banging little symbols, balancing the body? And then conveniently, within a year, he has moved in with a celebrity.
Yeah, after
in Malibu,
after being with Nicholas. Oh no, yeah, after being with Nicholas.
Well, sort of.
Sheridan,
they're
right?
Sort of. Yeah, I was like, this guy. Yeah, he's a fuckboy, basically.
Yeah, he's a total fuckboy, and he also scares me because she's, you know, she's like, look how happy I am at home. It does not feel happy. I have to say that. It feels like a very tense, awkward situation in there. And he's like, yeah. God, you put the clean forks in with the dirty forks. She's like, oh, sorry, hon. And I was like, uh-oh. Like, he's on camera. Like, if he's bitching like this on camera about clean forks, what is he like off camera?
Yeah. What's his frequency, Kenneth?
Yeah, work on your own frequency, you fork freak.
Yeah.
So then she tells us about how it's so nice being with him. And she goes, God, I'm going to sound like such a fucking flake saying that. But you got to see it on video, okay? I mean, I didn't understand what it was either. But, you know, it's pretty fascinating. And then with my ex-husband, Charlie, if I put the toilet paper on wrong, he'd burn the fucking house down. So I'm goddamn grateful for my relationship with motherfucking Aaron a lot. And I was like, okay, so you went from Charlie Sheen, who is obsessive compulsive, to a guy who's worrying about the forks.
Yeah, exactly. And who's also a con artist, probably. I mean,
lateral.
I mean, yeah, he was like balancing, he's using tuning forks, and next thing you know, he's like living in Malibu with a starlet. No,
yeah,
or maybe not starlet, but you know,
well,
what I'm saying,
a rich as fuck lady. Let's just
say
that
a lady, a famous lady.
Yeah, so they have to call Charlie because she doesn't want her kid going to homecoming because she can't date till 16. Even though I date, my mom kept me from dating, and look what happened to me. So she probably didn't do me any favors.
Yeah, I'm like, you're laughing that off, Denise, but really think about that, because you were married to Charlie Sheen, and now you're with a grifter. So maybe you shouldn't be laughing off that. Like, maybe you should do everything the other way around.
Yeah. So they call him. He's like, hi, sweetie. And I was like, oh, this is Charlie's, like, evidence, you know, that he's going to use in court one day. Like, look, I was totally fine on the phone that time.
Yeah. She probably called Emilio. She's like, I need to, like, prove to America that, like, Charlie is a good father, but he's not. So I'm just going to call Emilio and just have him pretend to be Charlie.
He's all, hi, this is Charlie Sheen, totally not the star of Angels in the Outfield. May I help you?
Hi, this is Charlie Sheen. If you hear a certain twang in my voice, it's because I watch Young Guns so much. It's a great movie with a great leading actor who should be working more, shouldn't he? Shouldn't he? Yes, thank you. Anyway, your father, Charlie Sheen, is here to talk.
Yeah, hey, this is Charlie Sheen. I've just pressed pause on The Breakfast Club, if you need anything. Okay.
Hey, this is Charlie Sheen. Hi, daughter. You just interrupted me while I was watching my favorite scene in St. Elmo's Fire, which is any scene that involved that hot tub and Andy McDowell and a certain person who should be working a lot more, but enough about him. Let's talk about me, your father, Charlie Sheen. By the way, side note, I just remembered I saw Andy McDowell this weekend. How exciting is that?
You did? Where'd you see her at?
I went to the theater and she was there and I was like, wow, it's Andy McDowell. And I really wanted to go up to her and ask her questions about Green Card, but I didn't. But I was like, Ronnie is going to really appreciate that I saw Andy McDowell. And it was really exciting for me. And I just want to say that.
Yeah, I would. If I ever got to see Andy McDowell, I'd say, listen, congratulations. You're like the first person I've ever seen turn from a terrible actor into a semi-decent actor by the time Magic Mike came around.
Congratulations on being that happy medium between Mimi Rogers and Nancy Travis. Thank you.
So what was it like having Gerard Depardieu on top of you?
What was it like having to create romantic chemistry between you and Gerard Depardieu?
When you were shooting Groundhog Day, did it really feel like the same day over and over again? Like, how many times can you say good morning to Michael Keaton? Am I right?
Would you have preferred it if Bill Murray were in Green Card and Gerard Depardieu was in Groundhog Day? To be honest.
That would be amazing, actually. Gerard Depardieu in Multiplicity.
Well, that's a whole other movie, too. Just multiplying Gerard Depardieu's.
Okay, people. So then Charlie's like, I don't care. I trust your judgment. Do you have any change in the couch trying to buy some crack? Okay, so then we go over to Dorit and Piqué.
Piqué has a lot of aggravation.
I've got a lot of aggravation today, babe. I'm tired, very tired. I've been on that 2 or 3, 4 weeks, and it takes its toll on you. You know what? Getting on planes, getting off of them, sleeping a lot, eating on someone else's dime. You know how it is, babe.
Such a difficult tour, going on that Boy George tour, you know? Having to go to Long Beach, Redondo Beach, Huntington Beach, Tustin.
Then, you know, then it was the Longfeather Casino, Casino Morongo.
Pechanga. It's hard, babe. It's hard being on the road.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, we've both had a couple of rough weeks, haven't we? Oh, my purses. So she walks into the other room.
My purses.
And he's like, is it wrong for your husband to clock her ass, babe? I'm like, well, you bought it. I mean, Jesus Christ. You might as well get a good look before that shit's repossessed, too.
So she's like, PK, I have this great idea that we're going to go to the Bahamas and spend a lot of money and have a great time. I'm going to have all the girls. He's like, well, I hope you're not inviting Teddy, are you? Actually, PK, I think I am going to invite Teddy, which is, you know, like a big deal, a big moment for them.
We've taken a baby step. I hope she doesn't interfere in my business and make a mountain out of a doggy molehill.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's kind of your thing to read, to interfere and make huge mountains out of nothing.
Yeah.
So then PK
and then
goes,
they show a memory of her fighting with Teddy when she was late to lunch that time. And she goes, Teddy, you really believe that I knew it was 4 o'clock when I said it was 4:30? Like, that is the funniest fucking Dorit memory of all
time. I know. Teddy's like, hi, I'm Teddy. So PK is like, well, honey, I think that ear dig. He just sticks his entire index finger into his ear and just like scratches for like 2 seconds. And he pulls it in and goes, super cool of you.
You're going to ask LVP, obviously. And he's like, clean slate and all that, you know? And you just get a clean slate and then move forward. And then Dorit tells us, listen, Özme, I hope deep in her heart she believes I had good intentions with giving that puppy to that wonderful lady I met named Shelliter.
Shelliter. She has a lovely family, Shelliter, and I felt so secure in doing that. It was either Shelliter or a back burner.
Talk so about then, a hot dog.
So Dorit is like, I'm going to call everyone. Wish me luck. He's like, you don't need luck. And then it cuts to a sign that says, danger, rattlesnakes.
Yeah, he's like, you're calling to invite people to the most fabulous place on earth. They're the lucky ones. It's like, oh, okay.
Here's what we do. We fly them to the Bahamas. We put them in a small room and say, sorry, the island is closed from mold. And then after 10 minutes, we lift a curtain and say, guess what? There is an island after all, and there's no mold, just boy George.
Oh, so then we go to Rinna and Teddy, and they exercise. And this is when I start losing hope. No offense to anybody in the show, but I started losing a little hope in Beverly Hills this season. I'm like, really, Teddy? She's like, I've never done this drill. And Rinna's like, oh, if you ever want to see Harry Hamlin, hike this trail, baby. And then they just like kind of sit there. And
I was more, I was more upset that Teddy goes, I missed you at Soul, which is her way of saying, I didn't see you at Soul Cycle. I just hate the idea of calling Soul Cycle Soul. I'm like,
yeah.
Teddy, no, Teddy, say Soul Cycle fully. I can't deal with Soul abbreviated. I Soul Cycle abbreviated to Soul. I can't.
It's just funny how Teddy acts like she's built this. She's like, oh yeah, look at my company. You know, it's like crazy that my company's grown some. I'm such a success. It's like, yeah, you're on a fucking national TV show, Teddy, you know, which I still don't begrudge her success, but she's kind of acting like she just like miraculously built this whole thing up, you know? I don't know. I'm kind of getting annoyed. I don't like watching people hike trails. There, I see.
Yeah,
it.
I think that's what it is.
That's what it is.
And I did like that they see a rattlesnake. Whoa! Hello, rattlesnake! Hold down! Rattlesnake, that's a big one. That's a big one. That's like the Harry Hamlin of rattlesnakes, am I right? I mean, I'm not lying. If you want to see Harry Hamlin in snake form, there he is! Here he is!
It's like, they're bigger at my they're not as big at my house, but we have them. Harry loves them! And then we see a clip of Harry catching a rattlesnake in the house.
Yeah. So then they're talking. Yeah, Teddy talks about how her business is growing. And then she's like, apparently she was in a movie. She's like, yeah, I was in a movie. I just did it for fun. And then we see a flashback of Teddy's moment on the movie. She's like, do you want me to help you bring in this bag? Okay.
Yeah, it's really heavy. These bags are heavy. I'm Teddy.
It took me 3 months to get into the mind of a porter. Yeah.
And Rinna's like, oh, so you want to be an actor? Oh, yes. Like trying to take it really seriously. And Teddy's like, well, I used to. But, you know, I had these big dreams. And I moved out here and I got an agent. And then I put on like 10 pounds or something. And then they sent me out. My manager called me and said, you're going to have to lose weight. And Rinna's like,
oh, God.
God. That is detrimental.
Meanwhile, later in the episode, she's like, well, you know, I can't eat anything because it's my job.
Yeah, this had a lot of mixed messages in it, didn't it?
Yeah.
This episode?
Yeah. There were weird things because then Rinna starts saying, like, you know, we all have issues with our bodies, you know? And we see a flashback. I had forgotten about this. Of like, Rinna and Catherine Edwards are at a party and a cocktail waiter has a thankless job of offering an hors d'oeuvre to Rinna. He's like, would you like a cocktail? She's like, oh, I would like to, but... And Catherine Edwards is like, but she doesn't eat.
And she's like, I'm going to get you for that. I do not like you saying that. Oh,
Hey, you want a hug?
It was a tuna tartare and a wonton crisp. I just thought that was a funny thing. And she's like, you know, yeah, but she does say, like, in this business, you have to look a certain way. That's just the truth, you know? And yeah, Teddy's like, yeah, sure. But, you know, it doesn't define me, but it defines what I do. I'm like, it defined you. Like, you're literally about losing weight. Your whole business is built about it, you know? But
I mean, why can't I just walk into a room and say, hi, I'm Teddy?
Yeah, she's like, I have five women to keep thin for now. I'm like, a lot of mixed messages this episode.
Yeah. My chair is creaking so much, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm noticing, like, it's like making – I think it's time for me to get a new chair, guys.
That's it. Do it.
I'm going to be accountable.
You could talk about it for 3 hours, and it'll be more interesting than that scene. So next, let's talk about either
– the agency.
Yeah, let's talk about Kyle's money, guys. Okay.
The
agency. Here we are.
At the agency. So Mauricio is on the phone and like – all right, like real estate. Let's call David. Okay, done. All right, real estate, closing, mortgage, on sale. Okay, real estate, done.
That's basically the whole thing. That's the truth.
Kyle's
like, hi, quiet in here, huh? And he's like, it's Tuesday caravan day. You know, if people are here, then they're not working. I'm like,
So what are you doing here? I'm basically not working. I'm just on the phone talking to Taco Bell saying real estate, mortgage.
Kyle's like, have you sent the tow truck over to take Kim's latest house? Please. So then she's...
This is my town.
In my town! So then she's telling him, he's like, my neck is hurting me because I was sleeping in the bed so that Portia could cuddle with us, and it made my neck hurt. And she's like, oh my God, honey, your neck and my eye. Honey, look, one eye blinks slow. And he's like, ha, ha, ha. I mean, Kyle, this has been happening for a decade, okay? We've only had this show on the air 9 years, and I can guarantee I've got the stills to prove from every single season that it's been happening for that amount of time, okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, don't laugh at me. And then to us, she goes, I'm a hypochondriac. There, I said it. I'm like, no, hypochondriacs are people who think they have real things wrong with them. Your eye is literally blinking slower than the other eye. It's a real medical thing. Okay.
I also like the way that she said it as if it was a brave admission. like she came out of the hypochondriac closet. I'm like, listen, Kyle, we're all hypochondriacs. I mean, I'm a huge one myself. Mm-hmm. So now Kyle's crying because Sophia is going to be leaving for college soon. So she's crying and everything. And she's like, you know, as a mom in this town, I feel complete when I have my kids and my husband together. That's when I feel 100% Kyle. And I'm just imagining like her CPU being like, 100% Kyle.
And I like how he responds because he's like, babe, you always worry about these things, but it always works out the same. They leave, then they come back. Then they leave, then they come back. That's what it's like being really rich. Where the hell are they going to go? They're going to live like this, huh?
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, yeah, like, did you forget? We're rich. So, like, they're just going to come back.
Yeah. You can't keep the cord tied to them forever, but you can't keep the Wells Fargo account tied to them forever. They'll be back, I promise you.
Yeah, they're going to want to be famous like everyone else in your family.
Yeah. So let's see. So that's pretty much that, right?
Yeah, that was it. It was just I don't really crying. I actually did feel a shred of sadness, or I don't know if that even makes sense. I did feel a little bit of sadness for Kyle because that sucks. You know, your child going off to college. But then I was like, you're rich. So then Rinna is now at home. She's like she has like two dogs, and like one is trying to teach one how to like eat food. I'm like, wow, they're really really bringing this theme to every scene here, you know? Yeah. She's like, no, let him eat. Let him learn how to bite. No, please let him have some of Harry Hamlin's pie, please.
Yeah, because her daughters are models now, so they both have little fucking dogs. Because that's how it is. So they're both carrying around puppies everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. So she has a scene with Amelia where Amelia's like, Mom, it is time to have a talk. A talk about anorexia. Which I had. And anorexia. Yeah. I need to talk about it. And I was like, okay. So her storyline is her daughter's anorexia. I'm losing more hope.
Jay.
Well, I'm not losing hope. I just feel like it's like, you know, just they had to throw in this. I think they're throwing in these sort of things that like add the emotional underpinnings of the season before they get into the real shit. But like, yeah, I mean, Emilia was talking about anorexia, you know, it was, you know, emotional and nice, you know. And then, I mean, anorexia is not nice, but like the journey, her, you know, that she came through it and that she's inspiring others. Lovely. Yeah. I was honestly more focused on like the fact that there were like about 35 big white pillows in the background that had all been given that chop. So they all just look like giant teeth that had been pulled out of someone's mouth and put upside down. Like it looked like the entire living room was full of giant teeth. God, I was like, this is terrifying. God, it's terrifying. If you go back, look at that scene. It looks like a, like 4 to 5, like it's just like, It's like a horrifying Crest commercial.
God, that is so creepy.
It's like they were overly chopped. They were overly chopped, so it's just like the corners come up and it's like ding, like tooth. God. I know this probably resonates with you in a very particular way since you just had a lot of dentistry done. So I apologize,
but it feels great now. Truth. So you know what? I'm happy about teeth again.
Yeah.
Back in a good place with teeth.
It just looked like the living room was going through like a very like tooth chic moment.
So they talk about this, you know, how she it was obvious that she had it because, you know, Instagram. Then we saw some Instagram pictures which were horrifying, and Amelia's like all your friends, like you go out and like you're with all your friends, you're all like just staring at that bread basket, you know. And Rinna's like, we all do. And it's just such an odd conversation because it is a struggle. I mean, I'm not saying it's a struggle with Rinna anorexia, and she even says people are gonna say that my kids are fucked up because I had anorexia, but I never had anorexia. But then that's always been the thing that everyone's thrown at her on this show, that she mm-hmm. doesn't eat, she's got anorexia, and that, you know, then she has like a big dessert party to like,
yeah,
you know, which is kind of, as we learned on Real Housewives of New York City, another.
I don't think that Rinna's anorexic, by the way. I don't. If she were anorexic,
I wouldn't know. I don't understand anorexia. I don't understand. I just feel like if you're, I've ever had it.
I mean, I've had some friends who had eating disorders, everything, and I'm not making light of this at all. But I just don't think. I think that if she were anorexic all this time, like she would not be with us. You know, like it's not like you don't maintain anorexia for like years and years and years. It's like it's a really like, you know, it really messes up your body. So I think she's just skinny, and I think she just doesn't eat a lot to keep her weight down, but I don't think that she's at like what, you know, I mean, who am I to say, right? Like I'm not
no idea. I mean, I'm just thinking if someone says they're not, then I say they're not. But
she's got two pillows.
Yeah, it's just it's just such a mixed message episode because it's all about body issues, and then it's like a dessert party. So it's like, what the hell?
About having a healthy relationship with food, maybe. I don't know. I think that sometimes when it comes to these sort of things, like Bravo is maybe not the best educator.
Yeah. So then they talk a little bit about Teddy and stuff, and you know, her own stuff, just being an actor and having to keep thin all the time and stuff like that.
Yep. So then we go over to Dorit's house, where there's a much different conversation going on. It's basically Jagger saying, "You're my robot, mommy," and she's like, "I am your robot. I am 100% Dorit."
He's like, okay, I want peanut butter, which is, you know, a great wish. I love that kid.
Yeah.
So then Vanderpump and Ken are driving, and she's like, Ken, you rear-end people too much. And he's like, hey, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, well, you know, they should get out of the way then, you know? It's like, sorry that my sensors don't go off all the time.
It's like, if you rear-end someone, it's always your fault because you're driving too fast. And if you end up in bed rear-ending someone, that means it's your fault. Get it!
So then we see Kyle with Mauricio, and Sophia comes in, and she's like, oh, like, I feel bad about going to the Bahamas right now. She's like, oh my God, Mom, please go. Just go. I can't deal with this anymore. Just get out of my face.
Yeah, Sophia's over it for sure.
No,
this whole
yeah, she's done. She's done. So then we wind up at Rinna's house again. And Teddy's there, and Denise, this is the party, the food, the dessert party with they make chocolate hearts and stuff. So they're coming over, And Hermione is like, Harry's away. The kids are away. I can only post so many bikini photos on Instagram to get attention. Might as well have the ladies over.
And of course, Dorit's late. Because that's Dorit. She's the last one there. So she's like, Camille goes, where's Lisa Vanderpump? And she goes, oh, I don't think she can come because something's wrong with Jiggy. And Camille's like, oh, she goes, yeah.
Well, you were kind enough to furnish me with an audio clip, so I'll just play it right now.
I don't hear it. Is it playing?
Oh, well, it was theoretically playing, but I guess it didn't play. Here, I'll try one more time.
I think something's wrong with Jiggy. Oh, something's wrong with Jiggy. Yeah.
I know.
Did you hear it?
Yes. Oh, no.
I think something's wrong with Jiggy. Something's wrong with Jiggy.
I know.
I also want to point out, by the way, speaking of all this body issue stuff, which of course we love to talk about, doesn't everyone love when two guys talk about women's body issues? But honestly, after all this talk, Erica walks in, sees Rinna, and goes, oh, you look minuscule, and it's fab. I was like, it's like, maybe, like, not the right time, Erica.
Oh, so funny. So Vanderpump and Ken are at Villa Rosa, and he's like, paperwork, darling.
Manila folder, I'm working. Folders. Business, manila folder.
And she's like, hello, do I hear the sound of a rustling manila folder? Please take me to table 44 of business.
Please take me to the sound of business and industry. Thank you.
Table 44 is alive with the sound of business.
Manila, paper.
So she's like, oh, waitress, what's your face?
Non-Katie, please, I must have that dazzling new dish. What is it? It is so innovative. Avocado and mango and avocado tartars. Yes. Ravish me with its flavors.
Everything is fucking tartar with her. She loves her tartar, this woman.
I'll have the chicken tartar, please.
So then she's like, well, Kenneth Madingo Badongo, what do you think about me going to the Bahamas? And he's like, I think it's a must. You must go. Bloomp. And he like turns around and starts going to the
business,
next table.
Business. Yeah. Ken, stop rear-ending that chair. Ken. Oh, I'm so emotional lately. I mean, as we all know, the islands are no place for emotions. No, I cannot. I must not.
And she's like, but what about you, puppy? Should I go? And Harrison's like, please just leave me alone.
She's like, Ken, please, you must promise. Since Jiggy needs a pacemaker, I want you to promise you will be by his side every waking moment.
I'm like, what the hell? What else does Ken do?
Yeah, Ken, like the dogs and Ken dress exactly in the same outfits, okay? Like, I'm sure that Jiggy will be taken care of.
He has like a notch that's been etched into his like side where Jiggy just sits.
Yeah. So then we get this, the shade, the Lisa shade. He's like, she goes, well, I could use a break, dear God. And he's like, well, you know, you'll have Kyle there. She's always good for a laugh. Then you'll have Dorit. That'll be great. And she's like, oh, I love Dorit. But sometimes she calls it wrong. And sometimes it's hard to defend her, if you get my drift. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to defend her. Is that what you mean?
Well,
you get my drift.
Yeah.
She says like something literal. You get my drift.
Well, and then she's like, you know, Dorit, you know, this whole thing could have been avoided. She just needed to give the dog back to us.
But I love her anyway. And maybe that's just how Dorit rolls, you know, just giving innocent animals to kill shelters.
Oh, I do want to say, actually, we got a message from someone on Instagram, someone who works at a shelter, and I didn't pull up the message, so I'm going to paraphrase. But this person was like very adamant. She's like, you know, we work at a shelter, and you know, we sometimes our shelters get like a bad rep. Like we just like get dogs and just immediately kill them. That's not what we do. We do a lot of outreach. We try to like find homes for these dogs. And like the first thing we always do is like reach out to these adoption agencies or whatever. And so she just really want, and I was like, you know what? I will let the audience know. I will speak up for this, for Shelly Tur. And she was just like, you know, like, we're not like some incinerator where we just like toss animals into it. Like they do yeah. a lot of work and like, you know, it's not like, you know, they make it sound like the shelters is like, it's like, I wish I had pulled up her message. I probably am doing her a massive disservice right now.
But. Yeah. But the thing is, if they don't save them, then the dogs do, you know, get put down in kill shelters. And this dog had already been saved by the Vanderpump, whatever foundation or whatever it is, Vanderpump Dogs. And so Dorit took a saved dog who's already been through all that and then put it back into that process, you know? But yeah. I'm not villainizing a shelter, but,
yeah. No, I know you weren't. I'm just saying, I just felt like what this woman wrote was here. Let's see. She said, I did find it. She said that the fact that the shelter contacted Vanderpump Dogs because the microchip led them back is 100% standard practice, and not because Vanderpump Dogs is some fantastic cutting edge rescue. Practically all shelters and rescues ask adopters to return animals if they can no longer. Anyway, yeah. I wanted to be a voice for the shelters, okay?
So she's like, yeah, maybe that's just how to read Rose. And then she decides she's going to have fun. And Ken's like, here's the fun. She's like, you're not having fun while I'm gone. You're working. And so then we move on to Dorit finally arriving at this.
I'm going to take the plunge at having fun again. And I know just how to have fun. It's called pin the pussy bow on the donkey.
So then Dorit arrives and everyone's, you know, really up to chefs. Everyone's wearing the chef's little aprons from his store or whatever. And yes. They're making chocolate hearts with stuffed in, and the guy goes, okay, so you know we're gonna stuff these for our loved ones, and then I thought you could write a note and we're gonna put it on top. And Dorit goes, so we're gonna write a note to whoever we want. Fuck Dorit. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to write a note to Teddy and say, Teddy, who the fuck do you think you are here?
And I'm just gonna add on that card, it's 4 o'clock, and see if she gets mad about it. And then, so they're filling the hearts, and he goes, and then we're going to put those notes on top of the hearts. And Erica goes, on top of the hearts? I was like, is this the dumbest cast ever, or are you guys just totally out of things to say?
And so then I loved how angry Denise Richards got about it. She's like, I don't, like, this is supposed to be some sort of baking. Like, there's no fucking dough. I don't even know why they call it pastry. This isn't pastry. This is melting chocolate on chocolate. You know what I'm saying? And there's a note in it. It's going to get chocolate all over it. You know what? This needs a frequency adjustment. As in, like, what's the frequency with this, Kenneth? Did someone say that already on this podcast? Was it me? I said that already, didn't I?
Yes, I said it. Sorry.
Yeah. I like that she's, like, really, like... She's basically she has very strict interpretations of pastry chefing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that's not pastry. So then the chef takes him into the next room to have. He's like, okay, well now you guys just get to enjoy chocolate. These are hand painted flower petals, and one of them's like, it's hand painted. He's like, yep. Is it edible? Yes.
No, it's toxic. He painted it with lead paint, and now you can eat it, Dorit. So, but the guys, by the way, his business was called like Butter, Love, and Hard Work. I'm like, ugh, this is such like a Food Network star concept. Like, my concept is butter, love, and hard work because those are the three things that go together to make some good food. Like, shut up, go away. Yeah. Bring Carney Wilson back.
I know. I need Carney Wilson back in my life. Yeah. So then Eric is like, oh, yeah, candy. I haven't eaten anything but candy today. I eat dessert every day of my life because it's one of the only things that brings me pleasure. I'm like, it's one of the only things that brings you pleasure, Erica, really? Like, Erica leads a life of leisure, darling.
And then they cut to her in her first season eating like a slab of chocolate cake in Beverly Hills. I was like, God damn it. It's taken me 4 years to stop craving that piece of chocolate cake. And now you brought it back.
I remember when she ate like one bite. She's like, oh, yeah, I like dessert. She's like, delicious. Done.
Yeah. Then she drinks her champagne. She goes, superb.
This is my fucking life, and I'm not apologizing for it. Ugh.
Yeah, she's like, you know what, eat it, because you know what, you put it on and you take it off, just work out. I'm like, okay, now you lost me there, because guess what, I'm eating fucking rice cakes and I'm gaining 45 pounds every time I do it, so stop.
Dear Lisa, I think I can top the chocolate flowers with a trip to the Bahamas.
Denise, they start asking Denise, they all want to know about Aaron. So she starts saying, like, yeah, I met Aaron. I met him when I was doing DNA repair and I had sex in one of his rooms. I'm like, wait, DNA repair? That doesn't even make sense. Is he like working at like Caltech? No, DNA repair. Frequency and DNA. Oh, please. I
That's
can't.
Amazing. I want
this guy
DNA
is such
repair.
A grifter. DNA repair? No.
God, girl, I could have hair and like toes that aren't stuck together.
Is he like making dinosaurs down in Culver City, wherever his thing is? I don't know. Like, no DNA repair. He's not DNA repairing anything.
Is he the one who gave Goose Knuckles?
No, Dorit. Cam goes, wow, that was some treatment. By the way, Camille is giving Denise the dirtiest looks. Did you catch it?
No, but I believe it. I believe it 100%. Especially when Denise, I imagine when she says, I mean, technically he's still married. I was like, okay, I mean, I'm done.
Yeah, because Camille goes, okay. So I was like, uh-oh, Camille's going to hate this person. And
yeah.
Erica's like,
yeah, I'm picturing you and Aaron having sex. It's right up there with my favorite porno. Because I watch porno and eat chocolate. That's right.
And Denise is like, I'm flattered that Erica thinks of me and Aaron having sex. It's definitely a turn on. I was like, who is this woman? She needs to be on every Housewives show, okay? I don't even care. I heard that she's probably going to be really boring from some old queen who works on that show. But, man, I don't think so. I think I'm going to love her.
I think she's going to be boring, but whatever. She's still – I mean, I'm just fascinated by this whole situation here. Like, she fell in love with this big hunky DNA repairman who works with frequency and balancing the body, and who's still married to Nicolette Sheridan. And even though, like, he hasn't officially been divorced from her, that they, like, within a year, he's now shacked up with another famous actress. I don't know. This is, like, so many red flags.
Yeah. So many. And so Harry, Rinna's like, well, Harry was married to her for 11 months, and Aaron was married to her, what, 6? And Camille goes, the same person? She's like, you didn't know that? And Camille jumps, and she's like, oh, I did not know that. It's like the loudest Camille has spoken in 9 years.
Yeah. Probably triggered some flashback to Frasier.
Yeah, she's all excited now. So then Rinna tells the story, and she's like, Harry was married to her 30 years ago, and he went to Canada, because, you know, Harry always in Canada doing something to this day, and she wanted to go see a Michael Bolton concert, and then left with Michael Bolton, and Harry found out when he was in Canada.
And to this day, I say, thank you, Nicolette Sheridan. Thank you. Thank you. And stay away from my man, you bitch.
Cheers to Michael Bolton. So then Teddy's like,
wow, I really never thought that way of Michael Bolton with all that hair.
I mean, to be fair, I don't really think about Michael Bolton at all. Hi, I'm Teddy.
That's Teddy's opening line.
I never think of Michael Bolton at all.
Hi, I'm Teddy.
And then she starts talking about how she met Edwin, which is that he was going to go into a club, and then he didn't go into the club. He went and had sex with Teddy instead. So then she's like, we have sex twice a week.
Yeah. It's always like Tuesday at 11 and Thursday at 3 p.m. And I'm always like, hi, I'm Teddy. It's time for sex.
Do you try to tell him when it's 11 in the morning that it's 4:30? Or am I the only one who gets that kind of treatment from you, Titi?
Yeah.
And Denise is like, oh, Aaron and I, we have sex every single day. I mean, and if we're not around, it's on FaceTime. I mean, it is just like bang and banging and banging and banging. You know, it's like my DNA is not only repaired, it is set for life.
I mean, I like that she says that, like, oh, we have the best relationship. Babe, you've been together 5 minutes, okay?
Yeah. As far as we can tell, your relationship is based on having sex or him probably putting his hands all over your body to adjust, quote-unquote, frequencies and to repair DNA.
Yeah. I mean, sounds good to me. I mean, he basically sounds like a good conditioner, you know?
Yeah. Hey, listen, he's hot, so I say more power to her. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, just make sure there's a prenup.
Yeah. So then everyone's basically packing.
Yeah.
Lots of and shoes and red bags.
It's the usual packing montage. And of course, we see like Erica with Mikey, and he pulls some shirt out that has tigers. And she goes, ooh, it says I am tigers, but tropical. Like, well, what does that mean?
And then this one's a California girl. And he's like, yes, this one's life. That is a moment.
Like, oh, God. Mikey's still Mikeying.
He really is. And now it's like everyone's going to LAX. We have a cute moment with Kyle, like her dog Storm was on the floor just like playing dead. Which, you know, probably happens a lot in that house. And then they're all in LAX, and she's like, and they go from LAX to Florida, and then they get onto like this PJ private jet, and Dorit's like, I want this trip to be glamorous, luxurious, and fun. And if it's not, I'm just going to give it to someone else.
And then Erica is like, oh, yeah, not a lot of people get the experience to go on the private jet. But one day you're on the Gulf Stream, and the next day you could be in coach.
But it doesn't matter how you got there, honey. It's that you got there.
Like,
she sounds like a beer commercial now. Oh, a bottle of beer. She sounds like she's like making taglines for like a serious Budweiser commercial. You know, like Budweiser was like, yeah, Budweiser, Budweiser, Budweiser. And now we'll be serious. Horses. It doesn't matter how you got here, on horses or by foot. As long as you got here. Budweiser. Now, Budweiser.
Now go to your room, Erica. So then Kyle's like, oh my God, I have fears about things and a wonky eye. I am a mess. And then someone goes, okay, now the 7F has the sound of the fluke of the brakes. And Teddy goes, oh, God, you got to love the sound of the word fluke when I'm flying. I'm Teddy.
Oh, sounds like some safety inspector was not being held accountable. Hi, I'm Teddy, and I'm all in this plane.
I would ask that your flukes have some accountability. That would be great. Yeah. I'm Teddy.
Yeah, yeah, I'm Teddy. So we've now reached an altitude of 20,000 feet, and I'd like to say it's safe to take off your seatbelt and say, hi, I'm Teddy.
So Vanderpump's like, Kyle! Oh, Dorit announces. She's like,
yeah.
I'd like to announce how we're doing the rooms. Kyle, your own room. Erica, your own room. Everyone, their own room. And Lisa Vanderpumpers. I thought you could share my beautiful suite with me.
Yeah, which Lisa does not want to do at all.
Yeah, gross.
She's like, no. She's like, but it's nice. She's like, you have a snoring problem and a gas problem. Like, I don't want that.
And everyone's like, Lisa Vanderpump is evil again.
One barb that goes too far, saying that Dorit has a gas problem.
Yeah, that's Kyle. She goes, it's all fun and games, and then one jab goes too far. I'm like, yeah, a fart joke. Oh, God, here we go.
Oh, man. So that was that, and that was the episode. Yeah, not too much happened, but fun nonetheless. Why don't we jump over to Listener Spotlight?
You down for that? Do where I dare you.
Double dare me, double dare me.
Triple dog.
Spotlight! Okay, here we go. So this one is from the lovely and glamorous Rhoda. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Ben and Ronnie.
Hey, girl.
This is Rhoda from Queens, New York.
Oh, yeah.
My nom de plume is R. Simone. It's usually what I rant under in the comment section on the Patreon.
Hey,
initially, I was going to speak about what I'm excited about watching on Bravo this spring and why, as suggested. But I decided that I wanted to speak about why I'm excited about Watch What Crappens all year long. Here's a great example. Today was not a great day for me. I'm naturally an anxious person. Not easily annoyed, just generally annoyed by nature. I guess I'm a stereotype in that way, being from New York. And the end of the episode, and realized that I had just witnessed two grown men tag teaming each other, not even tag teaming, working in unison to create one brilliant impression of an imaginary, cruel, bizarro Padma Lakshmi. They came together and did one impression of this woman using a microphone. Brilliant, brilliant. And you know what? It's not solving my problems. I'm still going to have insomnia. I'm still going to worry about my family. I'm still going to worry about the rent. Still going to worry about my health. Still going to worry about the future any better. I'm still going to worry. But it did make me smile. And you know what? That's worth a lot. A lot of people don't have things to smile about. So I'm grateful for you guys. You guys are interesting and funny and seemingly kind. And I'm really happy that I found this podcast. Love you guys. And until you guys show me otherwise, thank you for not being assholes. Bye.
Oh, thank you.
Wait, we haven't shown her that we're assholes yet?
Thank you so much for that. And it's really great reading all of your comments, because people don't really comment on Patreon a lot. So it's really fun to read all your comments on there. Yeah. It's like your playground over there, R.
And did you mean to leave a comment, R. Simone?
Yeah, it's really been great getting to know you on there. And thank you so much for the support. And everybody, thank you so much for all you do for us.
Yeah, that was great. We're glad that we're able to provide like an hour respite from the anxiety. Even if it's just an hour, you know? Hey. So yeah, thanks for that. That was really nice.
Thanks everybody. We will be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of New Jersey recap of the reunion part one. We will see you tomorrow, guys.
Bye everyone.
Bye.
Will my travel be affected when we leave the EU?
What about documents for driving?
Will mobile roaming change?
Should I check my travel insurance?
You might also have questions about how leaving the EU on the 29th of March will affect you. Find guidance and up-to-date information at gov.uk/EU exit.